In those first years, the roads were peopled with refugees, shrouded up in their clothing, wearing masks and goggles, sitting in their rags by the side of the road like ruined aviators, their barrels heaped with shoddy, towing wagons or carts, their eyes bright in their skulls, creedless shells of men tottering down the causeways like migrants in a fever land, the frailty of everything revealed at last. Old and troubling issues resolved into nothingness and night. The last instance of a thing takes the class with it, turns out the light, and is gone. Look around you. Ever is a long time. But the boy knew what he knew, that ever is no time at all. He sat by a gray window in the gray light of an abandoned house in the late afternoon and read old newspapers while the boy slept. The curious news, the quaint concerns. At 8, the primrose closes. He watched the boy sleeping. Can you do it when the time comes? Can you? They squatted in the road and ate cold rice and cold beans that they'd cooked days ago, already beginning to ferment. No place to make a fire that wouldn't be seen. They slept huddled together in the rank quilts in the dark and the cold. He held the boy close to him, so thin. "My heart," he said. "My heart." But he knew that if he were a good father, it might well be as she had said, that the boy was all that stood between him and death. Late in the year, he hardly knew the month. He thought they had enough food to get through the mountains, but there was no way to tell. The pass at the watershed was 5,000 feet, and it was going to be very cold. He said that everything depended on reaching the coast. Yet waking in the night, he knew that all of this was empty and no substance to it. There was a good chance they'd die in the mountains, and that would be that. They passed through the ruins of a resort town and took the road south, burnt forests for miles along the slopes and snow sooner than he would have thought. No tracks in the road, nothing living anywhere. The fire blackened boulders like the shapes of bears on the starkly wooded slopes. He stood on a stone bridge where the water slurried into a pool and turned slowly in a gray foam. Where once he'd watched trout swaying in the current, tracking their perfect shadows on the stones beneath. They went on, the boy trudging in his track, leaning into the cart, winding slowly upward through the switchbacks. There were fires still burning high in the mountains, and at night they could see the light from them, deep orange in the soot fall. It was getting colder, but they had campfires all night and left them burning behind them when they set out again in the morning. He'd wrapped their feet in sacking with cord, and so far the snow was only a few inches deep, but he knew that if it got much deeper, they'd have to leave the cart. Already it was hard going, and he stopped often to rest. Slogging to the edge of the road with his back to the child where he stood bent with his hands on his knees, coughing. He raised up and stood with weeping eyes. On the gray snow, a fine mist of blood. They camped against a boulder, and he made a shelter of poles with a tarp. He got a fire going, and they set about dragging up a great brush pile of wood to see them through the night. They piled a mat of dead hemlock boughs over the snow, and they sat wrapped in their blankets, watching the fire and drinking the last of the cocoa scavenged weeks before. It was snowing again, soft flakes drifting down out of the blackness. He dozed in the wonderful warmth. The boy's shadow crossed over him, carrying an armload of wood. He watched him stoke the flames. God's own fire drake. The sparks rushed upward and died in the starless dark. Not all dying words are true, and this blessing is no less real for being shorn of its ground.